If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 12, which we are studying together at the present time. You will recall in Revelation 12, John saw a great wonder in the heavens, a woman great with child, ready to be delivered. He saw another great wonder, a great red dragon, ready to pounce upon the child as soon as it was born. We suggested to you the identity of these characters. The woman was the nation of Israel. The child was the Lord Jesus Christ. The dragon was the devil. When Israel gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil made every attempt possible to destroy his life. But after 33 years upon this earth, he was caught up to the throne of God. Then we read of something that looked as though it might have happened at the very same time. But we pointed out to you, by comparing Scripture with Scripture, that it is something that is yet to happen in the tribulation period which is to come upon the earth. The thing that happened was, as soon as the devil was cast out of heaven, or perhaps to be more accurate, we should say when the devil will be cast out of heaven for the last time, he will immediately begin to persecute the nation of Israel as she has never been persecuted before. But the last time we were with you, we learned that God was going to deliver the nation of Israel for a time. We read in verse 14, to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. For the last 3.5 years, the nation of Israel is given this divine protection. We identified the place, and we were talking about the two wings of the great eagle which provided the protection. We showed you from the scripture how this is a phraseology that is often used to describe divine intervention when God bears them up on eagle's wings. And we suggested to you that it may mean no more than that. And yet we said it is interesting to recognize that the United States is mentioned in prophecy, and that the United States of America has for its national emblem the eagle. For this reason, we said as we left you last time, that some are of the opinion that the eagle mentioned here is a reference to the United States and her provision for the protection of the nation of Israel. It is interesting to remember that the United States is now and has always been a friend of Israel politically. Now, I do not think it would be wise for anybody to be dogmatic in his assertions in this respect, but it is interesting to notice that the United States of America, even in this very day, is doing what others interpret as being friendly toward Israel. I believe personally the fact that God is blessing this nation today in the measure in which he is, or at least one of the reasons, can be attributed to the reason we have just suggested. Be that as it may, regardless of which interpretation is correct, God is going to provide divine protection for the nation of Israel, for which the devil will be no match. Will you notice with me verse 15? The serpent, that is the devil, cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But what do we notice? The earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Here we are told that the devil, in the person of the Antichrist, sends a flood of water after this woman, after the nation of Israel. But the earth swallows up the flood, and it cannot hurt Israel. Is this, we ask ourselves, a literal flood of water, or does it refer to something else? We are of the opinion that it is a symbol, since it is spoken of as coming out of the mouth of the serpent. When you have time, read Isaiah chapter 59, with special emphasis upon verse 19, and I think you will see that the flood mentioned here is symbolic. It represents the armies of the Antichrist that pursue the nation of Israel with the purpose of destroying her. Those armies of the Antichrist are intercepted by the nations of the earth, which will not permit this kind of activity in the middle of the earth, the land of Palestine. I would like for you to notice with me one more thing that remains to be discussed in this chapter, namely the thing that was responsible for this intense persecution of the nation of Israel, the war in heaven. John gives us in this chapter a history of the individual whom we know to be the devil. We will have time now only to run hurriedly over the history. Will you look at verse 4, where we have the statement, this is Revelation 12:4, and his tail, that is the tail of the dragon, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Now we have already learned that stars in the book of the Revelation represent angels. Here is a simple statement that the devil drew a third part of all the angels of heaven after him in his rebellion. You will find a record of his rebellion in Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 14. For remember this, the devil was not created the devil. The devil was created as the anointed cherub that covereth, that is, the chiefest of all God's angels. In Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, and Luke 10, the record is given of how the devil aspired to take God's throne from him. Because the sin of covetousness reared its head in heaven, it was necessary for God to take Satan and cast him from his place of privilege and authority. So great has been his influence that when God did that, the devil took with him one third of all the angels in heaven. Then you will notice in verse 7 the statement, there was war in heaven. Of course, John was looking upon this as transpiring, so he spoke of it in the manner in which he did. For purposes of understanding, and from our standpoint, we should read, there will be war in heaven. Michael is an archangel, you know, mentioned only 5 times in the scripture. And every single time he's mentioned, he is working in the interests of the people of God. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. There was, or there will be, war in heaven in the middle of the tribulation. The devil and his angels fighting Michael and his angels. We might ask the question, why? Why is this war fought in the manner in which it is? Well, you find your answer in verse 8. The devil, we learn, loses the battle, and there will not be found in heaven any more place for him. Somebody says, wait a minute. Do you mean the devil goes to heaven? I thought the devil was in hell. Well, that's what the devil would like for you to think. The devil would like for you to think he was raising money to air condition it, so to speak. You're not going to be alarmed if you believe that. But he isn't there. He is very, very active. And one of the things in which he is engaged is presented in verse 9. The great dragon was cast out of heaven, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He is busy deceiving the whole earth at this very moment. Now look at verse 10. I heard a loud voice in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. What does the devil go to heaven for? He goes to heaven to accuse you, to accuse me. He goes up to heaven, and up until the time that we are talking about here in the book of the Revelation, he has free access to heaven. He can walk up to the very throne of God, and he can mention my name and make any kind of accusation that he wants to make, and he is heard. But how glad we are today to be able to say that though he is heard, I have a representative in heaven who is able to plead my case. That representative is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why that John says in his epistle, "Little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate, a lawyer, somebody to plead our case, the Lord Jesus Christ."